The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of The Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike, brought to you by U.S. Christian Chamber National Conference and Expo. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Welcome, everybody, to Afternoons with Mike here on The Shepherd. It's always a treat to have you along with us, my friends, as we get to talk today to someone who is busy in the community, someone that has not been here all that long, but is making a real difference. And I'm talking about Tammy Cooper. Tammy is the marketing and the communications manager for Bridges International. And we're going to get into all of what that ministry does and what they've been doing for many years, their history. I've been aware of Bridges for a long time, but I've never until today had a chance to meet my guest. Tammy, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
It's really great to have you here. So how you've been, you're born from Mississippi, I understand,
yes,
right?
Born on the Gulf Coast of Mississippi from Moss Point.
Oh my goodness, on the Gulf. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's a great area. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we all love that I-10 corridor right there. And
right.
My goodness, I've been through there many, many times. So tell us a little bit about yourself before we get into Bridges and a big event that Bridges is hosting. Tell us about yourself.
Yeah, well, I've only been in the Orlando area for about 4.5 years. I'm here by way of Oklahoma, actually.
That's kind of an unusual route to take from Mississippi to Florida, but that's okay.
Right. Well, I used to be a military spouse, and so we were stationed at Fort Sill in Oklahoma. During that time, I was actively looking for an album by a worship singer that I really enjoy listening to. His name is William McDowell. And I found his new album on Google Play. And right next to it was the link to an app. And I wondered, why in the world does he have an app? Well, it was a church app. And then I discovered that he was a pastor. And so I started following them. I say stalking them on social media, listening in on the prayer calls every morning, every night on the central time zone during the week. And then, you know, just eating up everything that they were putting out online. And so when things kind of fell apart for my family, you know, we had some changes go on. I prayed about, you know, what to do next. You know, okay, God, where do I go? You know, I don't want to stay here in Oklahoma. I don't want to go back to Kansas or Louisiana or Georgia or Mississippi. And God just simply said, well, you have a church in Orlando. And so I moved here, 3 boys, 2 dogs, and I've been here ever since.
My goodness, 3-4 years now, huh?
Right.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. And coming from Oklahoma now, what were the thoughts of your kids when they first came to Florida, the difference in the weather?
Well, you know, in Oklahoma, this is the one place I realized that weather really affects you. In Oklahoma, you have floods, tornadoes, earthquakes, firestorms. I mean, just everything going on. And here in Florida, it's just sunshine every day, mostly, and a lot of rain.
Yeah.
But I think they were excited about the change. You know, I know my oldest son, he was really enthusiastic about being able to do virtual school. So he actually graduated from Florida virtual school while we were here. So it was a change of pace. We were used to moving.
Mm-hmm.
So because we had been doing that, you know, since 2004. So it was just another move. But in my mind, I was hoping it would be a more permanent, you know, a way to stabilize the family and, you know, have a fresh start.
And when you go through what you've gone through with an unwanted divorce, then that was obviously shaking your world, and you move here and you're alone, it really helped to have what actually drew you to this area. And that was an interest in and a love for a local ministry going on in a new church.
Right. And, you know, and for a long time, the only thing I knew was I have church on Sunday. I have a prayer call in the morning and in the evening. You know,
what an anchor that is, isn't it?
We do outreach. You know, I didn't have a job. I don't have family here. I didn't have friends here. And so that was my grounding.
How did you come to know the Lord in the beginning?
Well, I grew up with my grandmother, and she passed away when I was 6. And then I moved with my aunt, and she was Catholic. So we went to Mass every Sunday at 9 a.m. And I did that for a long time. And I really didn't understand it, honestly. You know, I knew there were a lot of rituals and things I had to do and things I had to say. And, you know, you just kind of memorize all these things. But I didn't understand who God was or why he created me. But I had a sister who was Baptist, and she told me one day, she's like, you know, you have to ask Jesus into your life, and, you know, he's going to come in, he's going to change you. And I went through that process, you know, not really changing. I still struggled a lot. I had been molested when I was about 4 or 5 years old, you know, so that caused a lot of trauma that I couldn't talk about and couldn't explain, couldn't deal with. I coped the best way I could, struggled with suicidal thoughts, even a suicidal attempt, and a lot of, you know, just identity crisis, you know, not having my parents, you know, all these different dynamics going on in a teenage mind, as you can imagine. And so I just kind of went about life. But I remember one thing, you know, when my grandmother was sick with cancer, I lived with her in this old shotgun house in, like I say, in Moss Point, Mississippi. And I would stay up and watch the PSAs at night because I'm old enough to remember when TV would go off at about 9 o'clock and you would see the little spinning wheel or it go solid blank, you know, but I figured out if I waited, I could see these PSAs and they would show, you know, something like the food program, you know, and there would be a Caucasian guy and he would look in the screen and say, for less than a dollar a day, you can feed a child in need. And then it would show this baby who was dark brown like me and malnourished and fatigued and lethargic and sick. And then it would show a Caucasian woman and she would come and she would spoon feed him, you know, like rice cereal or something, maybe hook him up to an IV. And then fast forward in the PSA, you would see this child running around in dirt, kicking a soccer ball. And I made the connection in my mind that I can send money and that could help people, you know, who are sick and hungry and hurting and suffering. But I also said to myself then at a young age, you know, before I was 6 years old, that I don't want to just send money. I want to go, you know, I want to be that woman, you know, but there was no one in my community who looked like me who were doing things like that. But that always stuck with me. And even though I never saw it, you know, that was just one of the things that happened out of the transitions I made living all over the U.S. You know, I eventually worked as a senior marketing specialist for Habitat for Humanity International. And they trained me to lead short-term mission trips. And so I've been doing that since 2012.
That's so great.
Yeah. And it's grown into disaster relief trips. And, you know, I'm starting to see, you know, that dream as a young child.
It's becoming real.
It's coming real. And even now, you know, being able to work with Bridges International, I'm getting to help that least of these population that you read about in Matthew 25. When God said, you know, when I was a prisoner, you came and met with me. Or, you know, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me water. You gave me something to drink. You know, when I was naked, you clothed me. You know, being able to do for others who are in need. And so that's kind of been the theme of my life, you know, my passion, what I'm working towards. And so that's why I have the skill and the talent for marketing and communications. I have the expertise. I've been doing this 20 plus years.
You have the training.
Right. I have the training.
And the education.
And the education. But I want to connect that to nonprofit charitable work. I want to make sure that my skills and talents and all of my time and experience are being used in a way that benefit that population, that are helping people who are in need.
That's so amazing to hear that this dream that you had at that young age, 5, 6 years old, of watching a PSA on a TV program, so implanted. I guess my question would be, Tammy, you know, in light of our culture, we look around and there are so many people who have bad things happen to them. And it produces in them a bitterness that bitterness becomes like the self-motivating feature of their life. And it's like an all-consuming obsession and anger and just the acoustic lifestyle, all of those things. What made the difference in you? What do you attribute the fact that you were not free from difficult things, and that's carried on in as you've just shared, a heartbreaking divorce? What is the reason for that?
The only thing I can think of is grace, you know, and I can give you two perfect examples. You know, when I was a student, you know, it was things as simple as report card day. You know, I look forward to getting my report card. I had A's, you know, B's. I was a great student. But at that time, when you got your report card, you turned it over on the back and it said parent signature. Now it says parent or legal guardian.
Mm-hmm.
But then it was just parent signature.
You were always reminded.
I was always reminded. Like, mm-hmm. I don't live with my mom. I don't know my dad. I have to take this to my aunt. It doesn't say aunt signature, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm.
So little things like that. And so I was just constantly reminded. And even, you know, so I had some bitterness and some resentment towards her, my biological mother, but she developed cancer. She got really ill. And it was the last weekend of her life, you know, that I was able to go visit her in the nursing home. She didn't even remember who I was,
mm-hmm.
And she fussed at me about something. But God gave me the opportunity to actually tell her, for the first time that I know of, I love you. And I got to hold her and hug her, and she cried and I cried. And it was like all of those years of bitterness and resentment and even hate, you know, towards her just melted away.
What a gift.
What a gift. And even in going through my divorce, you know, we were college sweethearts. You know, we were married for 16 years, you know, and it was really hard in the beginning, you know, when it was fresh and new and we were bickering and we were going back and forth and we were just treating each other very unfairly. But now, you know, some of my friends look to us and they're like, you guys are great co-parents. Like, you get along so well. Like, you balance this so well. And I know it's just grace, mm-hmm. you know, and just accepting that things are going to happen, you know, situations are going to change, things are going to be out of your control, but how are you going to respond to it? Are you going to continue to be bitter and, you know, causing all that stress and anxiety on yourself? I mean, I personally think, because I got really sick on my birthday 2 years ago, I usually do an annual exam on my birthday every year just to keep track. I ended up in the hospital that day. I was in the hospital for 4 days.
And this is all pre-COVID.
This is all pre-COVID. This was November of 2019
mm-hmm.
in the hospital. Got out. A few days later, I was back in the hospital. I spent Thanksgiving in the hospital, really sick, and nobody knew what was wrong. Less than a month later, I was rear-ended in a really bad accident back in the hospital. And it was just like everything was just just going wrong at one point. And, you know, I just wanted God to fix it. Like, God, I know that you're able. I know that you can do all things. Just come and fix this. And he didn't fix the situation. You know, I've since been diagnosed with a couple of autoimmune diseases that don't have cures or really treatment plans for. But he fixed me instead of the situation. He didn't take the problem away, but he has taken away my need to be in control of everything, and then also helped me change my behaviors and my patterns and my attitudes so that I don't allow that stress and anxiety and bitterness to well up in me anymore. He's just showered me with grace, and it has transformed my life, my thinking, and just my atmosphere. And that's it. That's the key, really.
Now, you mentioned the fact that you went to the Lord and you asked him to take away all of this stuff. So would your advice be to people who might be hearing this, and they may have similar things, different in maybe diseases or scenarios or problems, but the fact that they're stuck and they need an answer like you needed an answer, what advice do you have for them?
I would tell them to ask. You remember I told you earlier, I grew up Catholic and I didn't really understand the process. I wasn't allowed to ask. I would say that I couldn't ask questions. It was just like, this is how it is. This is what you do. Just stick to the program,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I have learned in my life, my adult life, walking with the Lord, to ask the questions. Ask him the hard questions.
The hard
questions. He's the creator
of
all things. Ask him the hard questions and then be open to the answer, because sometimes we have in our mind what the answer will look like and how it will turn out. But for God, he works in mysterious ways, right? And his will is above ours. And he's going to do exceeding abundantly above what we could ask or think.
Mm-hmm.
And so just be open to how he responds, you know, how he answers, because it's going to be better. You know, it's going to work out for your good.
So grateful that
you just got to trust him.
That's right. I'm grateful you survived the rear ending, survived that hospital stay, the sickness. And my goodness, you got well just in time for the pandemic.
Right.
And everyone is now got our attention faced on something brand new. But I'm grateful that there are at least some signs that some things are starting to get a bit better with that. And our heart is constantly going out to those who are losing people, have lost loved ones. I've lost a couple of friends myself. This has been a difficult time. This has been a real test. It's one that's going on. It's not gone away yet. We're wanting it to go away. But even with this, just like what you went through, the answer is still the same. We go to the Lord and we say, Lord, have mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, as you can and as you will, fix me, fix the situation. Lord, we call out for you. And those kinds of prayers are needed every day of our lives.
Every day.
Yeah.
Every day.
Because that's what you're having to do now. You did get better, thank God. And you've still got children at home.
Mm-hmm.
And thank God. And there's another morning that's breaking, the new dawn the next day. And there's hope that goes along with that.
Right, right.
And I know you're enjoying your work too. Now, how did you line up with Bridges immediately after you moved to Orlando?
No, I just started with Bridges this summer, actually. And you know what? After years of applications and, you know, interviews and being told things like, oh, you're overqualified. Oh, you should be in corporate America. You know, things like that. You know, Bridges gave me an opportunity to come on board, and they've trusted me with a lot of projects to kind of help bring them into the 21st century.
We've got just a couple of minutes before our first break. Give a definition as to the ministry of and the work that the Bridges is involved in.
So they help bridge the gap between incarceration and community reentry. So if you're a nonviolent offender, you can come to the Bridge, and they will help you with substance abuse treatment, mental health counseling, help you reintegrate into your family, help you get a GED if you need a GED, help you find a job. And it's just a therapeutic community so that you can be prepared to get out and be a productive citizen.
Now, we had Father Charles that was on with us, and I know he's one of the counselors and people that really helps a whole lot. His story itself is amazing. And most of these people that are involved with the Bridges leadership have either a direct or indirect tie into this reentry and took the culture from being incarcerated, or some real close heart to it. And the Bridges, that you've been around a long time, the organization has been.
Mm-hmm. 41 years this year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I knew it back in the day, back in the 90s, early 90s, and was able to be a part. So we're going to hear more about the Bridges and some of the very exciting things that are coming up. My guest today is Tammy Cooper, Marketing and Communications Manager at Bridges International. Don't go away. We'll be right back. I am in the studio today with Tammy Cooper. Tammy is the Marketing and Communications Manager at Bridges International. That's in Orlando. And as you mentioned, it is a ministry that's aimed at re-entry into culture, into society from being incarcerated. And some of these people that the Bridges work with, there are nonviolent situations that allow them to kind of almost come out of the lifestyle of being in prison. And sadly, this is a truth, and I know you could speak to this from seeing it up front, but so often people that are facing those kinds of difficulties, they at times are more comfortable in prison than they are coming out and trying to make a go of it.
it's very difficult for them sometimes. And I have a neighbor I used to live next to. He went to prison when he was 17. He got out when he was in his 40s. And, you know, when I first met him, one of the first things he taught me was, he said, you know, I was so scared. They brought me home and I opened the door and this group of people was standing there and they had this box out in front of my face and it kept shining a light. It was a cell phone, you know, but he had missed so much. And then he was still living with his parents because he can't get a job and mm-hmm. then he can't get an apartment. And so he has all of these barriers and roadblocks and, you know, he didn't finish high school and he didn't have a GED. You know, he didn't get to complete any of those things. So it's just like a hole
yeah.
in his life.
Sadly, the rate of people who have a background and they've been in trouble with the law, it's not uncommon within a short period of release from a prison for that person to be right back in the same place.
Right. Because a lot of the roadblocks, like I talked about, you know, not being able to secure employment, not being able to get housing, not having money,
mm-hmm.
you know, but when you're at a bridge, like I said, if you need a GED, we have GED classes available for you. We will help you get placed with a job. You know, for example, here in Orlando, I'm told that, you know, we work closely with some companies like Lazy Boy. So they will take in our clients, you know, train them, you know, give them skills that they didn't have before.
Right.
And a lot of times they will stay on even after they've completed their program or their sentence. They will stay on with that company and make a career out of it. Mm-hmm. They enjoy it, you know, and the company, you know, I had one employer in the Cocoa Beach area tell me, you know, I love hiring from the bridge because these guys, they make a mistake. They end up in jail or in prison, but they have all these skills, you know, they're mechanics. He was like, they're doctors, you know, they're medical professionals, you know, they're skilled labor people and they come and work for me and they do some of the best work. He's like, it's like a gold mine. I love hiring from the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, you know, sometimes you just need to train them and just kind of mold them and shape them into what you need because, you know, they've lived a different life. But he was like, just having that skill set is so valuable.
You know, we hear the phrase a hand out versus a hand up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the bridge is giving is a hand up. It's mm-hmm. that link. And I like the name bridge because of the imagery that it represents. Mm-hmm. But it is so accurate because it is a way over
right.
this transition period that is for so many people so very difficult to do mm-hmm. successfully. And there are many reasons why, and a lot of it is because of some of the things that you've just mentioned. They get out, they don't have the kind of relationships in their lifetime that are normal, healthy, good, and safe relationships. And the people they do know are just the opposite, are basically still playing, if not over the line, around the line of dangerous behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes they can, with the first week, get right back into the old lifestyle again.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's happened. And some of them, they've burned their bridges with their families, you know, with people that love them and trust them. And, you know, so they just need what we all need, grace.
Yeah. And that takes me back to what we were talking about during the break. You know, I can think of a time when I was a young dad, my wife and I had our baby girl and she was a toddler, our first child. And we took her, this was one of the first times this event happened. We took her to a grocery store and she started off in the cart. And then after a while, like a lot of toddlers, they wanted to get down. And so we let her down. We're walking. Everything was great until she saw something that was not on our agenda, our plan to buy. And suddenly, instead of just saying, oh, okay, we're not going to get that. It was down on the ground and she was cutting circles with her legs, just moving, circling around, polishing that floor. And I'm looking there and I'm thinking, where did she learn to do that? and then, you know, you have that temptation of just wanting to say to the person next to you, I don't know whose child this is, but, you know, shame on them. But it was my child. And we're getting that great lesson that behaviors that are not good are not just learned behaviors. What some person said, the DNA of Adam, it's inside of all of us. Sin is there. And they, you know, we don't have to train our kids to misbehave. What we have to train them is there is a savior and that there is one who will help them. But we deal with that. And the Bible teaches parents how to deal with children if we approach it biblically. And that's what, praise God, we were able to do. But the whole point of it is that we all need, just like my daughter needed then, we all need the grace of God to come alongside, whether it be from a parent, whether it be for some of these people in the form of a hand up coming from the bridges, or maybe it's a family member who has not given up on them. But the grace of God is a multifaceted, multicolored grace that comes in so many different forms.
Right. It's never ending. It's everlasting. You know, and his love, it covers a multitude of sins. And I think a lot of that is, you know, that internal selfishness we all have. You know, it's about me, what I want, what I need. And that's why we have to take up our cross daily.
You know, you're here on the kind of the reason of being Orlando's being the place is because of this ministry that you had become very interested in and you were already following. Through long distance in Oklahoma.
On social media.
Through social media. You know, there are some good silver linings to social media.
Right.
We're seeing a lot of the bad that's been out there, but there are some things that are just wonderful about it. And that's one of them that you were able to keep up. You've got the notice to apply at the bridges. And now first thing you know, you're applying the skills that the Lord has given you. The Lord has worked in you and you're doing it. And there's a very special event that is coming up. And I'd love for you to tell us about it.
Absolutely. So on October the 29th, we're going to have the Community Health and Wellness Celebration. We're going to host it at the Olo Vista Park, which is in Orlando. And we're just going to set up and have games. We have vendors, different nonprofits coming out, organizations that serve people in the community. They're going to set up their tables and bring information and giveaways. And we'll have games, refreshments for the kids. We even have a clown who's going to come and entertain the kids. And then we've invited Mayor Demings to come and speak because we have a center in Pine Hills that's named the Jerry Demings Center. And so there, that's our outpatient facility. So our clients, they don't reside there like they do like at the Orlando Bridge. They can come in and get case management and services there at that center. And so this is our way to give back to the community, bring people together, share some really important information on health and wellness because, you know, we believe in helping to heal the whole person at Bridges. So it's spiritual, it's physical, it's mental. And that's what we're hoping to accomplish at this event.
That's wonderful. And we wish you the very best with that. We'll mention that again before this segment is over. Tammy Cooper, if you've just tuned in, is my guest today. She's the Marketing and Communications Manager at Bridges International. And you mentioned the fact that we have all these different locations. Not all of them at the Bridges are similar in terms of what they offer. Some are housing, some are not. Talk about the housing one on Mercy Drive, if you will, because I had a chance with Brittany to actually tour that facility. And that was a different facility that I was at that I'd never been to that one before. It was at a different location years ago, back when I was working with the Bridges. So tell us about that particular outreach and how it's different from some of the other locations.
Right. So that would be the residential facility. And so the clients, you know, a court, a judge can order, you know, an inmate to come to the Bridge. And so they will reside there. They live there. You know, they're monitored. They're connected with services. They get case management, substance abuse treatment, things like that. They have the opportunity to go out into the community and work. And they get to reintegrate back with their family. So, you know, particularly at the Orlando Bridge, we have, I call this a little sanctuary. It's a little area where the families can come and gather and visit with the client, you know, we have family days, we have special gatherings, graduations, you know, we really try to help them. And I can relate to this because I used to be a military spouse. You know, when we would go through deployments, you know, that reintegration period is so critical because a lot has changed. You know, when you take one element of the family unit out for any particular time, you, no matter what the condition, whether it's deployment or whether it's being incarcerated, you know, there's a need to help them to reconnect. Because like I said, a lot has changed. The individuals have changed. The family dynamics have changed. You know, there may be some trauma, you know. And so we help them to sort through those things through counseling and therapeutic community activities. And, you know, really trying to guide them on the path so that they don't end up back in the system. You know, we want them to re-enter into the community, you know, safely, effectively, and be productive.
Now, is it right to say that those that are in the residential program are serving out the remainder of their, I guess you could say, their sentence? And they will then, when that part is over, they will re-enter a part. So it's not like an ongoing forever type of arrangement, right?
No, it's not an ongoing arrangement, but they do get what I've heard is called like the blue chip. You know, this is the blue chip you get. We don't want you to come back, but if you ever need to, we're going to be here for you.
So it's an open door.
It's an open door.
Yeah.
We don't want to turn anyone away, but our hope is that we've done a well enough job preparing them and equipping them to go back and be productive and not turn back and end up back in prison. But sometimes things happen, you know, situations, you know, this person may have done really well in the program. They go back to a home environment that's just like you said, you know, borderline or right along the line, and they're back in that environment and, you know, make bad choices. So if that happens, and unfortunately sometimes it does, they're welcome.
Some have described the pandemic that's going on with the coronavirus as not being the only pandemic. That even before this one hit, there was another pandemic that was happening in the world, and that was the opioid crisis. And so I would imagine a lot of the people that have been incarcerated that actually have an open path, let's say, to go into the bridges, were maybe caught up in some of that type of activity. Have you seen any positive moves toward those successfully reentering in the last couple of years since you've been a part?
Well, I'm new to the bridge, so I started this summer. But you know, just in what I've gathered from my peers and colleagues, you know, we have had this opioid epidemic prior to COVID, you know, and I've read that, you know, the overdoses have increased, and you know, this is a very stressful time for people, and people are looking for, you know, a way out, an escape. And sometimes that is turning to things that give them pleasure, you know, and things that take them away. And so,
unfortunately, that one often takes them away. All right.
It does.
Permanently.
Yeah, right. Very dangerous, life threatening substance. And so that's why we just try to do our best. You know, we have trained staff that are passionate and skilled and capable of helping them. But, you know, we believe a person can change. And so we believe in them, but it also takes them believing in themselves and wanting to be successful in the program. And then just creating that environment where they can thrive instead of go back.
Yeah, making the right choice is going to always be the most difficult part about any of this. And that is something that if they have support, if they have friendships, if they have someone, and thank God for the spiritual dimension that's there, because at that residential center where we're talking about, they actually have a chapel in there. It was like an auditorium that is, you have a church service there every week.
The Cathedral of St. Dismas.
Okay, that's right. Yeah, right. And so they've got that element as well of faith in the Lord that will be a big help to them. For families that have, let's say, someone that is incarcerated and maybe they're hoping for an open door to the Bridges. How can they find out about that?
Well, they can visit our website at bridgesinternational.net. They can follow us on social media. What I like to do, I manage the social media, so I like to give people the experience of being at a bridge. So if you go to our Facebook page, you'll see images from the different bridges around Florida. We also have bridge locations in New York and in Canada, which is what makes us Bridges International. But you get an idea of how, if your family member were to be assigned or sent to a bridge, what their experience would be like. You get to see the dining hall. You get to see, you know, our Cocoa Beach location has a meditation garden. They have a basketball court. You get to see them in sessions, you know, meeting with counselors. So you get a feel for what they're going through, how they're experiencing this therapeutic community and, you know, transitioning from incarceration to being back in the community and society.
We've got just about a minute and a half left. Give us again the details on this big event coming up later this month.
Yes. So it's the Community Health and Wellness Celebration. It's going to be October 29th, which is a Friday, from 1 to 4 in the Ola Vista Park in Orlando, Florida.
And your special guests?
Mayor Jerry Demings will be there, and also our president, which is Lori Constantino. Her father founded Bridges International back in 1980.
I knew Frank back in the day. That's crazy.
Right. And so she's been at the helm since he passed away, you know, leading us, leading the organization, you know, forward, expanding, growing, and just taking it to new heights.
Well, welcome to Orlando, and I know it's been a short time that you've been in your position at the Bridges, but it's great to have you here. Someone from Mississippi and Oklahoma via Oklahoma back here to sunny Florida. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you so much.
And we will be right back here on The Shepherd. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike. Back for another segment. With me right now is Crystal Parker from the Christian Chamber in Central Florida, now also the U.S. Christian Chamber. First of all, Crystal, congratulations on launching what is a much bigger and more expansive version of just what we've all enjoyed and loved for years, the Central Florida Christian Chamber. So welcome to the program and congratulations.
Well, thank you so much, Mike. I'm so excited to be able to share this with the nation. And really, because we've had the opportunity to enjoy this in Central Florida since 2003, how amazing would it be to have communities that can come together through their Christian Chamber and fight each other, just like you and I did?
That's exactly right. You know, I think back to those early days of moving back to Orlando and was able to meet Mark Goldstein, who was leading the chamber at the time. And just through Mark and his many, many connections, was able to meet people like yourself, others as well, who not only are on my program, but doing a great job of this whole thing called Marketplace Ministry. And that is something that we talk about often on this program, because I believe we've all been called by the Lord, regardless of what our profession is, where we get our paycheck from. We're all called to be a part of sharing the gospel and living that out and being the very best person. And for those in business, that means being the very best business person that we can be, right?
Absolutely. A spirit of excellence and serving everybody that is a Christian that's in the business world knows and understands that, first of all, we're serving God and that He provided us with our passions and our gifts. And so when we can really stay focused on what God's called us into in life and serve Him, we're able to reach so many more people. And believe it or not, people that don't know the Lord, they're in the marketplace because they have to provide food for their families. Mm-hmm. And it's just such a unique opportunity to minister, to witness, and to really show Christ all through the world. Billy Graham said it, and I just love what he said. He said, "I believe one of the next greatest revivals is going to come through believers in the marketplace." And that's the space that we serve at the Christian Chamber. And I truly believe that if we can provide a space where Christian business leaders, nonprofits, single business owners can come together, meet each other, know each other, build relationships, do business together, refer each other, and just continue to grow the kingdom through the businesses working together, then we can build the kingdom, we can build business, and we can build these communities in a way that is God-honoring.
You know, that is so exciting to hear you say that, because of the fact that you're talking about doing something and you've done it, you've built it, you've started something brand new at a time and in a year that a lot of people are thinking and would be saying, that is impossible. Crystal, what are you thinking of? Have you heard of about this thing called a pandemic? What's going on with that?
Oh, he tells us, I will show you, or I will, and you know the Bible so well, so you can probably tell me what scripture this is, where he talks about bringing streams through the wasteland. You know, God will use some of the most unlikely things, and oftentimes what people think are trash or not useful, or it's broken, it's a failure. And I think God does that to remind us of the glory and the power of the Almighty God. And he lives inside every single person that just calls on his name and invites him in.
I agree. And now I haven't looked it up, but I think you might be talking about Isaiah 43:18-19, where it says, remember not the former things, or consider things of old, for behold, I will do a new thing in you. That's right. Yes. And that's exactly what you're doing. I'll make a rivers in the wasteland, and let's say something like that, a rivers in the desert and a way in the wasteland, or something like that. That's off my memory. But that was a very important verse back in my own life, back in 1982, when God impressed on me. And, you know, you're doing this new thing now at a time, like I said, where the pandemic has slowed so much of people's activities down, and there, I'm sure, would have been a lot of naysayers. You might have even had a lot of friends that thought and may have questioned, is this the right time to launch a big new, not only a big new emphasis, a U.S. Christian chamber versus what you're doing, but now you've tackled this thing of an expo where you're bringing all of these people in and all of these different ideas coming together. That, too, was quite an undertaking, and you've done it.
Well, I haven't done it alone. And it's funny when you talk about the naysayers, Mike, because I think the biggest naysayer is that little voice inside of me that's kind of like, God, why did you pick me, you know? Or you're just one. You can't do it. All of the you can't. And so it's really been a battle of the mind to do this, even just in writing my book. And I'm so excited to be able to share that at the expo as well. So I think sometimes the worst critic is the one that lives inside of us, and really just replacing that. And I love to hear you quote scripture, Mike, because when we have that scripture, that's the truth. That's the living word of God. And so when we start to hear and tell ourselves those lies, then when we can replace it with the living word and the truth, wow, it just helps you just crush barriers and crush through some of those things that are holding us back. But you're right. We decided to launch this expo as part of our national launch with the U.S. Christian Chamber. And what a great timing. And it's all God's orchestrated timing. It's just about being obedient and walking forward. But I remember when we sat down to initially talk about this expo, we thought for sure COVID would be a thing of the past by October.
Yeah, right.
And we've been planning this thing for quite a while. And so for sure, COVID's going to be gone. It's not going to be an issue. And then here we came with Delta, the Delta variant. But you know what? When God's in it, and if it is ordained and called by God, none of these obstacles and things matter if it's what he wants in his will for what it is that he's called for you and the purpose. This U.S. Christian Chamber is needed in this world. We have different organizations, but they're not really for the Christian business.
Mm-hmm.
We need this. The world needs this. And I really believe that this is something that's snowballing at this point. We have now 11 different individuals from 11 states that are going to be in attendance at this conference. We're just 16 tickets away from being sold out for our full event portion. Now, we do have space on the expo floor. People want to come in and just get to know and network with some other Christian believers that are in the business. But as it relates to these 12 national Christian speakers that we're bringing in to help people grow their business the Kingdom way, we just have 16 tickets left. And the expo is beginning on the 26th, which is Tuesday of next week.
You know, this is just amazing to think about that. An event like this, an expo in a time, and I know I'd love to be able to say we're post-COVID. We're still dealing with some of it. We're not post-COVID yet. And, you know, it was funny to hear you say we thought by October. That was also said in 2020. Early on,
right.
No one would have believed. I mean, let's face it, we were supposed to only have a couple of weeks of slowdowns and flattening mm-hmm. the curve and all of that. And here we are a year plus later, still having to deal with a lot of the ramifications. But with that, to hear that you are that close to a complete sellout at a basically, it is a conference that you've put together and you've brought people in from all points of the United States. And it's going to be an exciting thing. In fact, your guest, one of your guests is Angie Sella, who I will be talking with today. And that program will be aired tomorrow. Angie's story is going to be featured at your event in a very prominent way, right?
Absolutely. And it's so neat how God will bring people. And she's from out of state, and they heard about what we were doing and said, we want to be a part of it. And I'm thinking to myself, here's this entrepreneur, this businesswoman, and, you know, one of the main criteria is to be a part of something like this is that you've got to just fully accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And, a lot of times you have an assumption about somebody because she's so successful, and it turns out she wrote a book, Blinger, An Entrepreneur's Faith-Based Journey, and tells her story. And I'm not going to get ahead of her story because your audience is in for a huge treat tomorrow for your show. But what we did was we wanted to be able to open this up so that everybody could get a chance to participate in this expo. It is a three-day event, and we're only selling three-day event tickets. Now, we've priced them in a way, Mike, that we believe there's great value in that. So if you can only go for one day, or maybe you can just catch certain speakers, that's fine. But there's limited access on those tickets. However, the expo floor is open.
Mm-hmm.
And Angie is going to be on the expo floor. So on night two of the expo, October the 27th, we just announced this yesterday, so timing is great. We've opened it up so people can participate in a networking or an evening social. It's a dessert social with Angie Sella. She'll be there. She'll have the blingers. I have heard, and she may tell you tomorrow, so I don't want to get ahead of it, but she's bringing in over 15,000 crystals for people's hair to bling all week. She's going to be there. She's so generous, and she's so excited about what's happening here, and she wants to share a little bit of her story. And so we're going to feature her to be able to share a little bit of her story, because it's an amazing story of perseverance and focus and believing that God spoke to her and gave her this vision. And so I would just say, if you can't be one of the 16 to grab your ticket here at the end, then come on out to the expo floor or be a part of that special dessert event with Angie Sella, and all the exhibitors will be there. It's going to just be another amazing evening to celebrate. One more cool thing that we're doing as a part of this expo, Greg Kelly with World Mission, and I think he's been on the show.
Yes, he has.
He is actually leading a Bible study at 7:30 in the evening. So we're starting every day with worship with our young professional network directors from the chamber. We're starting with prayer. We're starting with announcements and then prayer some more. And then we're going to send people off into these business sessions that are biblically based business sessions to help people gain a competitive advantage in their business and their personal growth and spiritual development. And then in the evenings, if they want to stay around or if they're staying at Canterbury, come sit with a smaller group of people and take God's word deeper. And Greg Kelly's going to lead that. So this team, I can't take any credit for this. I just want you to know, number one, it's God. But number two, there's been an incredible team of people that have come together that see this vision, that want to be part of changing the world. And we're doing it through this Christian chamber concept.
Well, we've got just 2 minutes left. Just real quick, I want to also highlight another guy that you've got coming in, David Prosper, who's been on the program as well. And he's going to be fantastic. He did a TED Talk, and this guy is an amazing entrepreneur in the area of education and the ideas that this guy has had and that it's working. He leads what's called the Shepherd Revolution.
David Prosper, and he really falls within that young professional demographic. And so that is, it's just so neat to see how God's anointed and gifted him. And he's going to be talking about how to nurture your innovative brain. We've got Joe Peachy, who is global sales guru, and he's going to be talking to people about priority and time management.
Mm-hmm.
Karen Pallott, she's a board member, a very successful businesswoman with perspective. She's going to be teaching people how to turn conflict into an opportunity. Of course, I'll be there sharing from my new book. And Mike, I couldn't even believe what God's done with this book. It hit number one in religious leadership on Amazon. And that's only God.
Congratulations.
God. Thank you. I told my mom, I said, how many people in the family do you think will buy this thing? And we laughed. And when I got that news that it had hit number one, I called her. She said, Crystal, I haven't even ordered my book yet. I'm like, Mom, you were supposed to be one of the ones. But I'm going to be talking about how to gain a competitive advantage in the market through the compounding power of people, processes, and parables. The speakers are going to be amazing. The event's going to be awesome. And I just want to encourage everybody that can hear me today, get out there and be a part of what God's doing.
Absolutely. USChristianChamber.com. Get all the details. We'll see you out there, Crystal. And thanks for being on the program. And that's all of our time for today. Thank you for being with us. We'll catch you next time on Afternoons with Mike.
Afternoons with Mike. Brought to you by U.S. Christian Chamber, National Conference, and Expo.